The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host, and this is a bonus episode of the Pick Six Mailbag. If you're listening to this, it is, Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to 2021. May it somehow manage to sneak over the low bar that is 2020. This is Saturday, January 2nd, and we have a mailbag. If you want to have a question put into a future mailbag, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and we will get to it. At some point, we will answer your question, no matter what it is, as long as it's not, you know, charged with outlandish claims about Wilson's secret family or, you know, filled with expletives. We'll get to it. Even if you can't see your questions on Apple, we can. So keep leaving them. We see them. Just leave the questions. Well,
I just wanted to note that, like, right now, you know, I know you guys like to look about what people are saying about us. There's just something happening with Apple right now. They're not populating for the public to see, but we see everything. So that's how we're pulling these. You're leaving the reviews. We are seeing them, even if it doesn't seem like your review went through. So keep leaving your five-star reviews.
Exactly. Okay. Let's get to it. First up from Dizook. What is the best case scenario for the Jaguars on the following fronts? 1, general manager. 2, coach. Oh, by the way, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, what's up? How you guys doing? Sorry.
Happy New Year.
Debo interrupted me and I didn't get a chance to
introduce you. Just thought, was your New Year's resolution not to mention our names or just like it's a solo podcast or we just sit here and listen to you like it's story time? What's going on here, Brinson?
We're being punished.
More or less. Sorry, you got to listen. You guys are just going to sit there and listen to me filibuster for 45 minutes.
Sweet. We weren't going to talk.
We'll see who offs themselves live on camera first, Wilson and Breach.
Anyway, Wilson.
Best case scenario for the Jaguars, who are currently in possession of the first overall pick. They've locked it up, assuming. And by the way, if you're listening to this on Saturday, what a performance by Trevor Lawrence last night. Hopefully, knock on wood, because you know I bet on Clemson. Big.
That's 19 and a half.
I thought it was like 8.5. 19. No. Alabama's 19 and a half.
Oh, Alabama. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I already bet Alabama at 19 and a half. I bet on Clemson, too. They're going to slaughter Ohio State. Ryan Day's accusing Brent Venables of cheating. That's in the past. Anyway, assuming that Trevor Lawrence declares for the NFL, the Jaguars will get him with the first overall pick. Well, he could go back.
He is not going back. Quit saying that.
I don't think so either, but I'm just trying to cover my bases so I don't end up sounding like a moron.
The Cowboys will be 3-3 after they win tonight, and they have a path to 9 wins. It's not a difficult path. Right.
I didn't say over how long. I meant over 2 to 3 seasons.
So what is the best case scenario for the Jaguars on the following fronts? 1. Stop trying to play sounds on my podcast.
I was just saying there are times you sound like a moron before.
Oh,
let's get the Cowboys to their 6th win first.
They have 6 wins.
Do they have 6 now? They need one more for 7. All right. Yeah. So you were right. Okay.
The first dunk of 2021 is on Brinson.
And it's Andy Dalton Cowboys dunk. So it's extra delicious.
That's right. So anyway, enough of the nonsense. What is the best case scenario for the Jaguars in terms of 1, general manager, 2, coach, and 3, a Gardner Minshew trade? Wilson, you're our draft guy. You want to tackle this?
General manager, yes. Coach, yes. Minshew trade, yes. Next question. So GM, I'm partial to Thomas Dimitroff. I think he does a good job. I mean, he clearly helped build that organization in Atlanta. He interviewed at Detroit with a lot of other guys, including our Scott Pioli. I think Lewis Riddick interviewed there. I don't know if anyone's interviewed for the Jaguars job yet. I haven't seen anything. I am not up. Like, JJ would be the person to talk to on the up-and-comers in terms of front office types. Coach, I like Robert Saleh a lot. He feels like, to me, the 49ers general manager. We talk about Eric Bieniemy as well, but I think Robert Saleh does a great job, at least from just watching games, of getting his players to buy in. And I've said it a lot in 2020 and before that. You can be great at X's and O's, but the head coach's job is to get people motivated. You're not going to be drawing up plays. No one cares about Adam Gase's ability to draw plays or that he left his wife in the last moments of labor to go home and work on a play and a game plan, because he seems to be not great at relating to his players, and that's incredibly important. So that's what the next coach needs to be able to do. So whether that's a Kevin Stefanski type, whether that's someone like Robert Saleh, who's a defensive coordinator, it doesn't matter. You have to be able to relate to the players. So I think that's incredibly important. And also, by the way, there have been some reports, I think JLC may have reported as well, that Urban Meyer might be interested in this job. He is an offensive mastermind.
I got asked that on the radio today by Brian Weber.
You got asked last week, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, last week on the filling in on the Jim Rome show. I guess it was technically this week. No, that is worst case. Urban Meyer is worst case. You hand everything, the keys to Trevor Lawrence and the castle to Urban Meyer. That is worst case. He's been out of football for multiple. This will definitely come back and bite me in the ass on an old takes exposed situation, or we clip it later.
Man, but you're calling out a guy, JLC.
I'm not calling him out for the report. I think Urban Meyer is being mentioned on every major media network right now. To me, it screams that Urban Meyer's people are pushing that he wants his name put in the mix for NFL coaching jobs. He can't get a head coaching job in the NFL. He doesn't last long at the NFL, at college coaching jobs. He requires recruiting and out scheming people in terms of college, like pro.
He's a pretty good offensive coach.
No, he's a very good offensive coach. I just said he requires out scheming
people. And I find it hard to believe that he couldn't get an NFL job given some of the guys who have gotten NFL jobs.
I'm not saying he can't get an NFL job. I'm saying that I don't want Urban Meyer given full control over the Jaguars organization.
Who's
I think that's
that? He can still have a GM.
Dude, if you bring in Urban Meyer, he's going to get to hire the GM. And I don't think that's the best. Okay.
I agree with Brenton just in the sense that if you're going to go after a college coach, if I'm Shad Khan, Jacksonville's owner, I call up Dabo Swinney. And I make him a Matt Rhule type offer where
you gotta go more than Matt Rhule, buddy.
No, that's fine. You pay him 10, 11 million, whatever he wants. You're coming here with Trevor. We're gonna rebuild Northeast Florida and we're gonna turn Jacksonville into a championship contender.
He makes $9 million a year,
and you pay him $11 million.
That's not the point. He runs the state of South Carolina.
I don't think Dabo's leaving either.
He crushes recruiting. He can't do anything wrong. It makes zero sense for him to leave. He can, not for $50 million. If you're talking about someone like Pat Fitzgerald, if you're talking about like someone like
Jim Harbaugh,
Campbell, no.
Jim Harbaugh idea.
I think Jim Harbaugh would be good.
I mean, what's the difference between him and Urban Meyer other than Urban Meyer wins games?
Harbaugh has had immense success at the NFL level and with this three straight NFC title game.
Oh,
that's a huge difference.
Up high, down hard.
What did he do the last 8 years, you numbnut?
At Michigan.
He's a better head coach in the NFL.
To recap,
Urban Meyer is ill-fitting for this job because of all the success he had in college because of recruiting and whatever else the other dumb excuse was. Jim Harbaugh, same situation at a super big program.
Jim Harbaugh went to a Super Bowl already.
In the last 8 years, he didn't.
NFL and college are totally different, man.
All the points about the coach being good in college but bad in the NFL is reverse for Jim Harbaugh, that he's not great at college but could work in the NFL. He's going to need a GM that gets along with him because he's got an explosive personality.
Whether you hire Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh, you're not hiring a coach who's going to be there for 10 years. Those guys do not coach for 10 years. Urban leaves after short stints in college. That's just how he works. He jumps from place to place. He builds up a contender quickly and then he bounces. Harbaugh annoys or like annihilates enough friendships and coworkers that he bounces after 3 to 4 years too. Well, so I don't think either are the best choice, but I would take Harbaugh over Urban Meyer.
I would take someone like Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern, or Matt
he's
Campbell.
Only coaching the Bears.
I have a crazy wild card for you.
Please let me finish. Or Matt Campbell out of Iowa State, another young guy who's done a great job. Those are the Matt Rhule type players who who make more sense than either Urban Meyer or for whatever reason you guys are on the Jim Harbaugh train, which sounds to me like completely the most bonkers thing you guys have said in 2021.
That's true. This is the first conversation we've had.
I am not on the Jim Harbaugh train. I'm on Jim Harbaugh over
I'm the Urban engineer Meyer train. Of the Jim Harbaugh train.
Even so though Jim Harbaugh did in fact get obliterated repeatedly year after year by Urban Meyer in college. Just some names to throw out that I think could make sense for the Jaguars GM job.
I have one more coaching name I want to throw out because I think it would be absolutely crazy.
Marvin Lewis, go ahead.
You have the number one pick. You're getting Trevor Lawrence. You call up the Patriots and you go after Belichick.
No.
Make them an offer they can't refuse.
Have you written an article about that yet?
No, but I think it makes sense.
You know, it doesn't make sense because it's going to cost you 2 first round picks. And this is
you offer him 2021 or 2022 and 2023 for. No, you have 2 first round picks, right? No.
Yes, but
the Jaguars do.
One of them is Trevor Lawrence.
But yeah, but you're not giving him the first overall pick.
You give up 0 first round picks for a man who's 67 years old.
You get let him build for 5 years.
This is why you're a Bengals fan.
That's not crazy.
You don't want the best coach in the history of football.
Not in the tail end of his career after winning 6 games the year before. You guys are on the Jim Harbaugh plan for losing games.
No, I'm on the Belichick plan.
What about this? What about this instead? You call the 49ers and you offer them 2 first round picks for Kyle Shanahan.
Now we're talking. That makes more sense.
Or offer him, like, listen, you can't have Trevor Lawrence. You can't have 3 other first round picks. We want Kyle Shanahan.
That is smart. Slap yourself in the face right now.
Does John Lynch take that deal?
I don't know.
Jacksonville has the Rams pick. So if the Rams miss the playoffs somehow, which is still possible, then it would be 19th overall because they'd be the last team to miss. But then if they make the playoffs, it'll be somewhere in the 20s. So that's
record, I am not on board with – I love Kyle Shanahan. I'm not on board to giving up any first-round picks if you're the Jaguars. We could just hire a coach who's good and not have to worry about it. The point is you got to find that guy.
I agree with you. You need to find the coach. I think that it would behoove the Jaguars to make a smart hire at GM first. An interesting name, speaking of the 49ers, Adam Peters, the VP of player personnel there, very close to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, has done a killer job. I think he would be a guy that they should look at for the GM position. A fun name that JLC wrote about, Dan Morgan, former Panthers linebacker, is now the director of player personnel with the Bills. He has flown up the ranks in terms of scouting. The Bills have done a great job acquiring veteran players that have fit in seamlessly and done a great job with their chemistry and all of that.
By the way, quickly, we talked about this on the Monday Night Recap, I was thinking during the game, the whooping that the Bills put on the Patriots, the two most important hires the Bills made wasn't Josh Allen. It was Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. And if you get that right, Jacksonville, in 3 years, you could be the Buffalo Bills, but you have to get it right. It's incredibly difficult. So stupid crap like trading 2 first round picks for Bill Belichick. Don't do that. Don't fall for the gimmicky stuff. Just do the homework and get it right.
2 more names of guys who have not been lured away. Actually, I guess 3 names technically who have not been lured away from their current organizations for whatever reason. Trent Kirshner, the VP of player personnel with the Seahawks, is constantly mentioned as a guy who should get a GM job, but hasn't. I don't know exactly why.
Well, there are only 32 jobs. A lot of times the guys who get fired get hired later. Sort of the same coach.
Of course. Well, I mean, that's why, that's why you see our good friend Scott Pioli, Rick Smith, Thomas Dimitroff, we mentioned,
Louis Riddick.
Louis Riddick, like it's easier to look for those guys than to look for possible stud GMs. And then another name that I think I don't know why people don't try and go pry this guy away from him, but Will McClay in Dallas is widely credited, I think, around the league in terms of being the guy who makes these smart decisions for the Cowboys and is basically telling Stephen Jones what to do. Stephen listens to him. Jerry wants to do what Jerry wants to do. And then George Patton, the assistant GM of the Vikings. I think all of those guys could make a lot of sense.
And you didn't even mention Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
Caserio, what about John Dorsey?
Don't hate it.
Rich is reading from a list from 20 years ago of popular candidates to be coaches and GM.
Dorsey's Belka,
John Dorsey.
Dorsey's last two stints have not ended well.
Bobby Bethard.
Charlie Casserly. The guy, around the NFL guys, I think it's Rosenthal who does it, but it's a great impersonation of Casserly. I stole it for the radio the other day. It's like, the most important person in your organization is the quarterback. And the second most important person in your organization is your backup quarterback.
Charlie Casserly is basically the bartender in Boardwalk Empire. I mean, he's like a 1925 guy that has his hair slicked back and wears the little thing around his bicep, his little poker outfit. Yeah. All right, the final question was the Minshew trade. Does that really matter? I mean, keep him. I think keep him.
Yeah. I Pete, you know what? Keep him around just to piss off Briscoe.
Briscoe doesn't like him?
Hates him. I don't know. Like personally
he likes him. So that's the reason enough to keep him around.
Yeah. On the Minshew trade, I would say if you can get a third-round pick.
Yeah, if you get a third-round pick. Second-round pick. If you get a third-round pick, you jam him in a mustachioed leopard skin box and you drag take him wherever he needs to go. Best case scenario, you get a sixth round pick.
I want to know what Breach has smoked on New Year's Eve, because some of the things he's coming up with are absolutely off the wall crazy.
Well, we've seen how important a backup quarterback is. The Washington football team just fired their starting quarterback from week 16 because he went to a strip club. They would love to have Gardner Minshew right now. If they could call up Jacksonville, give them a third round pick, they would absolutely do it because they'd have a competent, non-injured quarterback to start. Sunday.
Hey, what about this? Like, what if the Jaguars call the Patriots and say, we'll give you Minshew for Belichick straight up? Like, who says no, bro?
I don't think a third round pick is crazy.
That is crazy. Minshew. That is crazy.
You are officially the worst GM.
No, you've got him. No, because
it's like Belichick is the GM, Harbaugh's coaching, and they just traded for a first round pick for Minshew.
Okay, Breach, rip off your mask and reveal Bill O'Brien.
Okay, a first round pick is That's being ridiculous. That's absurd.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Breacherby.
You have him under contract. If you trade for him, you have him under contract for two more years, $850,000 in 2021, $965,000 in 2022. A team that could take a flyer.
Let me stop you there. He sucks.
Also, any team that needs a quarterback has an early third round pick. Right. That's a top 100 pick. Like, what are you doing?
We can have.
I'd rather have a guy with NFL experience than take a flyer on a third round quarterback. Wilson is the only one.
Using that logic, every team should trade a third round pick for Ryan Finley. You dummy.
Breach, will you give me a third round pick for Mike Glennon?
No.
Okay.
Why not?
He has NFL experience.
He's no Gardner Minshew.
He's literally starting ahead of Gardner Minshew for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's because Jacksonville's trying to lose. And
I know
we've taken
a break. Breach, I know we've taken a break, but how about this? The Bengals cut Ryan Finley just because he can only beat the Steelers. They should trade a third-round pick for Gardner Minshew, right? I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I didn't hear your question.
How? He said Breach. I'm talking to you. Let's say the Bengals cut Ryan Finley because they hate him and he stinks at everything except beating
the Steelers.
Ben Roethlisberger and getting tattoos of Ryan Wilson. Should then the Bengals trade a third round pick?
Of course.
For Gardner Minshew to back up Joe Burrow.
Makes sense. He's got NFL experience, right?
Yeah.
Every I will just have you know, Gardner Minshew has the fifth most wins of any quarterback in Jacksonville Jaguars history.
Answer the question.
What?
Dunked kind of, on.
No, I'm not you're getting dunked on for that. What kind of stupid stat is that?
That's an amazing stat. That's what it is.
Wait, you see the fifth most wins of any Jacksonville Jaguars
Name
quarterback?
Five Jacksonville
yes, that's what I said.
Okay, one is obviously Brunell. Two Mark is probably Brunell. David Garrard.
Byron Leftwich, Blake Bortles, and great Gardner Minshew. Big deal.
Is that it? That's the list, isn't it?
Up.
Get out of here. Wilson just dunked on you. No, Breach, you got dunked on.
No,
for
I dunked
that.
On you. I just did a reverse dunk in both your faces.
You just sprited yourself at the rim. Is what happened. All right, next
I'm
question.
Short. That's what happened.
I think we'll take a break.
Short people try to dunk.
No, we're doing one more than a break. This is a little outdated, but can still apply. Is the note I have on here? It is a little outdated, but
let's and thanks for backing me up, Debo, who just put a stat in Slack with some great numbers. Gardner Minshew, more pass yards per game than Drew Brees and Ryan Tannehill. Better touchdown interception ratio than Russell
Wilson
and Lamar
Jackson. Is this
one of
those trash
higher QB rating
tweets?
Than Ben Roethlisberger and Kyler Murray. Higher completion percentage than Tom Brady.
So you would trade a third round pick if you're the Bengals for Gardner Minshew is what you're saying.
I have Joe Burrow.
But you just
I said in a spot where the quarterback situation is murky. It's not murky in Cincinnati.
You said backup quarterbacks are important. You know who's using a backup quarterback right now? Murky. Cincinnati! Cincinnati is currently using a backup quarterback!
Down hard!
And one more for good measure!
We're going to set a record.
Then
for
you
dunks.
Know what? Yes. If I was the Bengals, I would trade a third round pick. So now dunk on yourselves.
Okay. I'll take that one. Let's say the Jets, this is from MMart6767. Let's say the Jets draft Trevor Lawrence. Jalen Hurts plays great the rest of the season, and Big Ben hangs it up after the Steelers win the Super Bowl. Personally, I think Ben's got at least one more season in him. But just for argument's sake, let's say he does retire. Wilson, as a Steelers fan here, would you rather have Carson Wentz for 2 first-round picks? that didn't age well. Or Sam Darnold for a single second-round pick to be the Steelers starting quarterback in 2021? I think the Eagles would ask for 2 ones at least, but feel free to insert a fairer price if I'm wrong. So hold on. Let's stop right there. 2 first-round picks, not the fair price. I don't know when the review is left. We will leave MMart alone in terms of that.
This was after Jalen Hurts took over for the Eagles. So it's just within the past couple weeks. And the Jets still had claim to the number one spot. So a couple weeks old, but not too old.
Okay, well, there's no way in effing H that the Eagles are getting 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz.
Well, Debo talked about it on the Sunday Night Recap podcast.
Oh, my God.
Week 16. No, he's just saying that there could be a market out there for him. I mean,
I think so. Wilson, the guy who just argued against a 3rd-round pick for Gardner Minshew, is about to argue for 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz.
First of all,
up up and away, Dipsy Doo Dunkaroo.
He got you there. He got you there.
I haven't said
you
anything
walked
yet
into that. You're like, hold on a second. Maybe you could. I would 100 times out of 100 rather give up a 3rd-round pick for Gardner Minshew than 2 first-round picks for Carson Wentz right now.
Debo, please play back what I just said, where I said, yes, you should definitely give up 2 first-round picks if you're any team for Carson Wentz, you idiots.
I can't do that. We also, I think, might have to limit Brinson's use of the soundboard in 2021. it's out of control already. Let's change it instead of 2 to 1. I think that...
No 1st-round picks. No one is giving up a 1st-round pick for that turd of a contract.
They could.
No.
Anyway, just for the sake of discussion, let's assume 1 first-round pick. And by the way, Breach, you have 0 credibility. So I don't know why Brinson is enabling you. So I would not want Carson Wentz in Pittsburgh. I feel like he is a head case. It's not physical, it's mental. And I don't know how easily that's solved. What? Is that outrageous?
No, just
okay. I think
put it on his face.
Your guy Mike Tomlin could get him right. He could get him right. You know those Tomlinisms. He's got that for Carson.
Carson, the standard is the standard. Iron sharpens iron.
All right. Let's just do that. I'll take your example, even though I disagree with it completely. But
what one person? You can Carson?
No. You are a team that needs a quarterback.
I'm taking Sam Darnold for a 2nd-round pick if I'm the Steelers.
Wentz for a 1st, Darnold for a 2nd, or Minshew for a 3rd. What is your choice?
Stop it. That Minshew stuff is idiotic. I'm taking Darnold, even when I read the question originally and before it breaches stupidity with the 3rd-round pick for Minshew. I half-heartedly liked Sam Darnold over the first 3 quarters of the season. I liked him a lot better the last 2 weeks when he's played a little better, clearly. But I think there's less distance for him to go to be a good quarterback, whereas I'm concerned about Carson above the neck. Physically, Carson Wentz is a better quarterback.
It is a no-brainer decision that Sam Darnold is the answer here for.
Well, you just say that because you hate the Eagles and you like to rub it in Debo's face.
No. Sam Darnold for a second round pick. You went to the Humane Society and adopted a glorious labradoodle who somehow ended up in a shelter, and you're adopting it and you're giving it a new home, and it is instantly grateful for all that you've done for it, and it is rewarding you with great success. I don't know what the dog example of Carson Wentz is, but I don't want it.
Sam Darnold still makes some idiotic plays.
Of course. But like everything that Jets.
The dog example is like Beethoven from the movie Beethoven. Like it's fun. It was great to start off, but they don't have long life expectancies. It's just over. It goes with a bang. Career's over. That's it. I think they use like Carson, four different Carson Beethovens wins. In the sequel.
Carson Wentz feels like you're going and buying this, like a dog who's at the Westminster Kennel Club. And at one point, maybe like, let's say, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2017 thereabouts, was considered the top of its breed or a rising star in its breed. And then it lost its leg and that really caused a problem in its brain. And as a result, you're buying a three-legged schizophrenic dog who happens to have a massive amount of pet insurance that you have to pay every year. So you can either buy the gentle labradoodle for the second round pick or pay up and get the guy with the huge pet insurance thing. What are you going
to
do?
I would pay $1,000 right now to see Debo turn his screen on so I can see him stabbing his little Brinson voodoo doll.
And then I don't know what Minshew is. Minshew's like you're walking down the street like by the bus station and this like little grovelly like dog comes out. It's like, hey, third round pick? I don't know why I'm doing this dog analogy.
I can't get over Breach trading a third-round pick regarding Minshew.
I can't get over you being like a first-round pick. Seems fair for Carson Wentz. Debo, what would be your solution for the Eagles? No picks involved. You can trade Wentz for Sam Darnold. No cap ramifications involved. You can trade Wentz for Sam Darnold or Wentz for Minshew. What would you do? I would trade Wentz for Minshew to get the contract off.
What are we
you
doing?
You said no contract.
But you're saying that we could shed Carson's salary.
I like the shed. See, a little really working in the dog analogy here. Yes, you can get rid of Carson Wentz's contract, but all you have to do is take on Sam Darnold or Gardner Minshew.
They very well are probably still the backup in Philadelphia, but at this point, that contract is a big time issue. You see how, I don't know, Jalen Hurts plays in week 17. You have four full weeks to evaluate him and move on from there. I maintain Carson Wentz has shown a lot more than Sam Darnold. His 2020 was a lot worse than Sam Darnold, if that's possible. But I think we'll see a return for Carson Wentz to some level.
I think that the 2017 for Carson Wentz is going to ultimately be Al Bundy's four touchdowns that he scored in that game for Paul Kai.
Yeah, but he was very good in 2019. I know we can pull up stats. Okay. He passed for 4,000 yards. No receiver had over 500 yards. There was no offensive line. He led the team to the playoffs. That team was trash around him, and he did some really, really good things. And I thought he would be able to continue that with kind of the same lack of weapons and injuries around him this year and poor play calling. He clearly did not. That was a huge failure. He was abysmal this year, but I've said you don't have to get back to 2017. If you get back to 2019, you're a top 12 quarterback.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. That's a lot of offseason to talk about quarterback rankings. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will discuss the Bears and one Sean Wagner McGuff and whether or not he made a mistake in an article he wrote last year.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, so this is from Spin Sugar 10 on Apple Podcasts. This is one of my favorite NFL podcasts. My question for the mailbag is, does Sean have any updated thoughts on the article he wrote before the 2019 season about how the Bears were going to own the Packers for the foreseeable future? Can you find out, please? Thanks a bunch. First off, obviously, we have to dunk on Sean for that.
Ryan. In absentia.
Yes, in absentia. Ryan, you said before we start recording that you think that we already asked Sean about this, because I texted him. He had no response.
Breach had the insights into this, he said.
Yeah, I believe we asked him maybe when the earlier this season, so a few months ago, and he said he did not recall writing a story like this. And I did a story search through the back end of our website and could not find anything relating to the Packers or Bears. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It could be under a headline I didn't look for. So I'm not sure what the deal is.
Breach's mentions are blowing up because Ryan just called him out of the Wentz thing on public. And Breach just froze up. He's frozen. He is frozen.
What?
He started getting alerts about Ryan tweeting about him. Or not. I don't know what the article was. What was the article?
Wilson, I noticed that you did not mention that you would trade two first-round picks for Carson Wentz. You conveniently left that off your tweet.
Because I didn't say that.
I mean, you were about to defend it until I dunked on you.
Oh, my God. Listen to this guy. Go ahead. Answer the question about Sean.
Yeah, I did answer. I said, I don't know that Sean wrote this article. Like, we don't know what article this is referring to.
Sean has said in the past that
he's afraid of Aaron Rodgers. He wants Aaron Rodgers to be out of Green Bay. This man is terrified of Aaron Rodgers. He's probably having nightmares of Aaron Rodgers tonight, especially because they are playing each other on Sunday, the Bears and the Packers. So,
you don't see Breach stumble like this, but
something like what?
Here's one from June 2019. Mr. Trubisky must take the next step in his development for Bears to make a Super Bowl run. I don't remember the article either. Surely he didn't say that the Bears are actually just going to dominate the Packers, right?
Yeah, I just felt like his thought process was always that the Packers were going to dominate the Bears as long as Aaron Rodgers was. Oh, I mean, he was always on the Aaron Rodgers regressing bandwagon. What we wanted and want to know how he feels about Aaron Rodgers this season. Cause nobody thought Aaron Rodgers was regressing faster than Sean Wagner-McGuff thought Aaron Rodgers was regressing.
Of course, so, Debo has the answer before you could breach. Here it is. Oh baby. Yeah. Shoot it in my veins. June 5th, 2019, NFC North 2019 offseason grades. Packers and Lions make upgrades as they look to catch up to Bears.
Right. The headline would infer that, but I actually already read that article. Boom. And it just says this is what these guys did this offseason. He gave the Bears a C, said they didn't do a lot, and gave the Packers a B and said they actually did something and might not take a step back. So he actually complimented the Packers in that article.
Okay. Well, just like most things in life, Sean was too scared to actually go on a limb and say the Bears would do anything. But the point remains is that Sean was convinced the Bears were turning a corner with Matt Nagy after they won 12 games. Maybe they still make the playoffs this year. We'll find out tomorrow. But the Packers look like a Super Bowl contender. Aaron Rodgers might win MVP. And
wait, you know what? It's crazy, though. Here's something crazy. A Sean article I did find. I'm going to bring it up. So we all had to write. We got assigned teams to do our 2020 predictions. You had to predict each game from the season. And this was right before Sean left. In the end of May, May 27th, 2020, he wrote Bears 2020 schedule game by game prediction. His record for the Bears going into week 17 was 8-7, which is exactly what it is. And he projected them to beat the Packers to finish 9-7.
Wow.
And then he ended with whether or not that will be good enough to get them into the playoffs remains to be seen.
No, it doesn't. Not anymore. They'll get in.
Well, that's right. If he had them winning, yes. If they win, they will get in. So, Sean, wrong again. All the way to death. This is from Dawson A.H. I don't know. I think you wrote this on Facebook, maybe. Ryan, John, and Will. As a Jets fan from Australia, I love the show and the podcast. We don't know much about your game here, but love learning about it and listening to the banter each week. I have a question. I want to know, why is the Jets are persisting with Adam Gase? Detroit fired their coach. The Texans also. If this has been an Australian rules football, he would have been completely vilified by now. Surely there's some other plan behind the scenes. Can you analyze this further on one of your podcasts? Much appreciated. Kind regards, Dawson. First of all, Dawson, thank you for listening from Australia.
Yeah, it's great.
Lovely place. I want to visit at some point in my life.
So Dawson says, we don't know much about your game. The same can be said of Adam Gase prior to the last 2 weeks. But I think the simple answer is that they were happy to have Adam Gase drive the bus right over the cliff with the expectations that at the bottom of the cliff would be Trevor Lawrence. But then they messed around and beat the Rams, and then they won again last on week 16 against a Browns team that just refused to show up even though they didn't have any wide receivers. So I think that's the issue. And I think the expectation is to fire him after the season because he was failing. And he wasn't failing like Bill O'Brien was failing because Bill O'Brien traded away all the draft picks. Matt Patricia won a couple games. I think they had 3 or 4 wins when Matt Patricia got fired. But the Jets were winless, and that was perfectly positioning them for Trevor Lawrence. And then in the most Adam Gase way possible, he managed to win 2 games and guarantee that they now will not have the first pick.
One thing I will add to that, and this is my theory on what I think the actual reason is it didn't even necessarily have to do with Gase. It has to do with the actual owner of the team. Woody Johnson is currently the ambassador in the United Kingdom, but he's in the Trump administration.
I feel like you're stealing this from me, but that's fine.
How am I like reading your mind? Did you write this down somewhere?
I've mentioned this like 10 times in the podcast, I thought.
No, I don't think so.
No, like because Trump hasn't conceded, they haven't changed the ambassadorship over.
Well, no, they can't change it over until Biden's inaugurated on January 20th.
Right.
And that doesn't even happen for a few months. So once Woody is back in, so Christopher Johnson, his brother's thinking there's no reason to do anything now because Woody's probably going to want to say in the coaching hire since he's going to be back in control.
I think Woody is saying don't do like, they're, I mean, they're
sold your horses.
They're texting. They're saying don't fire anybody. We'll figure it out when I get back. Cause Woody is in charge of the team and Woody sucks at running the team. He's an awful owner, and Christopher Johnson has been slightly better, I guess. Woody's awful, but he maintains control of the team. He shows up at the owners' meetings, that little Jets hat drives me nuts. And I think he's saying, don't do anything. We're going to ride out Gase till the end of the season. So, yes, Breach, even though I guess you'd steal that from me. It's your own theory, but I agree with that completely.
Yes, me and Brenton are having a mind meld in 2021. This is a little creepy.
Maybe so. Maybe it's all the black eyed peas we ate on January 1st.
And Brussels sprouts?
No. Oh, I don't mind Brussels sprouts. Yeah, you get some leafy greens on January 1st. Not on Thanksgiving.
Not on Thanksgiving. Definitely on January 1st. You gotta
go. I go collards, black eyed peas, and some
With black eyed peas. I haven't had them in 25 years though.
No, I love some Hoppin' John. Love it. This last one is from Linus Turnquist. Here's my question to the podcast. I don't have Apple Music. I hate it when a call that was originally called a non-fumble is changed to a fumble, but it doesn't matter because there was no clear recovery. I think the NFL should have some sort of tiebreaker for who gets the ball in that case, like a basketball jump ball. What do you guys think, and what should football's jump ball be?
I think Linus makes a good point, and I think we need to consciously make a decision to write down all the calls that annoy the crap out of us because of the way they're instituted, but this is one of them. The blowing the whistle early, when they decide the easiest rule to change is when the clock hits zero on the shot clock. It's it. It's a penalty. It's to delay a game. What are we doing? But to his question, it's annoying. I don't know how you solve it. I don't know what the easy solution is. Originally called a non-fumble, then it's changed to a fumble. I mean,
so in other words, it's a clear fumble, but they didn't blow the play dead until after the ball came out. And or, so
it's clearly a fumble and they don't call it on the field and then they challenge it, but it doesn't matter because the,
but like it was
like a quarterback gets hit. It's called an incomplete pass on the field. They review it. It's actually a fumble, but no one recovered it. So that the quarterback that got hit retains possession.
Or two guys came together at the same time. They're blowing the play dead. And it's like, well, we blew the play dead. There's no clear possession. I agree. It's so infuriating because it's all the refs. Like it's all in the refs.
And sort of tangentially related to that, they have to figure out when there's a scrum at the bottom of a pile for a football, you know who has possession 9 times out of 10. You can see with video evidence if team A recovers. But 10 times out of 10, the referee gives the ball to the team, whoever ends up with the holding the ball at the end of the scrum. So it could be that team B is just punching the guy in the nuts 100 times to get the ball out, even though team A recovered and he's down. By definition, in terms of what contact is, that drives me crazy. What Linus mentions here drives me crazy. The play clock going down to 00 drives me crazy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could be easily fixed. Not having cameras on the goal line drives me crazy. The plays in the snow on last Sunday night, the Packers game, they missed an offsides. They missed the out of bounds. Dude, it's 2020. It's now 2021. It's easy stuff to fix.
Put a chip in the ball and put cameras all over the place.
Well, real quick, I think Linus is saying that like this is the most annoying. Like Ryan mentioned a lot of very, very annoying things, but I think Linus is saying this is one of the most annoying because it involves a change of possession. You know, the 00s, somebody's not losing 5 yards that should have lost 5 yards, but with this, the other team should have gotten the ball, but they didn't because the refs are like, oh, we didn't see anyone with clear possession, so we're just going to give it to the team that fumbled. So.
Well, and it's like, it sort of reminds of the, this happened in Washington, Carolina. And I think in the Jets Browns game, didn't the Browns have a scoop and score for a touchdown? Yeah. But they're like, well, we ruled it incomplete on the field. We're not going to overturn it. It's like his arm got hit and the ball flew straight up in the air. It wasn't coming forward. It flew straight up in the air and went backwards. That's a fumble. And so all of these things that the NFL does where they try to protect the referee's decisions on the field. It's just absolutely infuriating.
I have another one to the list. I just remembered Alex Smith running off with the football and they stopped the clock on third down. So kick a field goal.
He still won the division. Grow up. Fumble through the back of the end zone is infuriating.
Yeah, that's a dumb rule. I mean, that's the rule.
I don't hate that rule.
Oh, I hate it.
Why?
A lot of people do hate it.
It's a change of possession for like nowhere else on the field. Is it a change?
You know what that is? In terms of rules, that's traded a third round.
Well, it is. If you fumble out the other end zone, you lose points. If you fumble out the other end zone, you lose points. So obviously it's been there's special rules for the end zone. The NFL has made that clear. Like if you're the offensive team at your own 1 yard line and you fumble out your own end zone, what should be the rule that you get the ball back at the 1 yard line? Like think of it the other end zone instead of what you're saying.
But I also think it's because you can't
be against this end zone rule and be okay with the other end zone rule.
But I also think I can.
Yes.
I also think it's kind of stupid that on one side of the field, like if you're on your own 2 yard line and you false start, it's a half a yard.
Yeah.
And if you're on, you know what I mean? Like if you're on somebody else's 2 yard line and you false start, it's 5 yards.
Like if you're on your own 2 yard, that's where you punch someone in the face because that 15 yard penalty is only 1 yard.
Right. That's Bill Belichick. That's the first day of practice for Bill Belichick.
Right. I'm just saying it's sort of inequitable. Like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It's half a distance.
Right. But it's inequitable. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
You could go 10 yards back, but then it would be a safety and that'd be a whole other can of worms.
Right.
So anyway, what would you do? What would your proposal be? If you're 1 yard away from scoring a touchdown and you fumble through the end zone, what should happen?
I say the ball goes to the plus 15.
Yeah, 15, 20 yard line, you get possession back, and it's whatever down it was. Lost it down? I don't know.
So, what if it happens? It's just.
Oh!
No, I don't think it's a good rule. Like, it's not like.
But if you fumble into the end zone and the other team recovers, the other team gets the ball. If you fumble out of bounds, the ball does not go to the other team. Just because
if you fumble out the other end zone, you get safety and you have to punt the ball away.
That's a safety.
That's a 2 points and a change of.
Right. You, the offensive team, are giving the ball to the defensive team, and that's what happens in this instance also.
But you're protecting your own end zone. It's totally different.
So, but in both cases, the offensive team loses the ball to the defensive team.
But here's the difference. So you fumble out of your own end zone. Presumably you get the ball no further down the field than minus 20, your own 20-yard line. The other example is you've driven down the field and you're still being punished because someone fumbled at the one-inch line out of bounds, but out of bounds just happens to be the end zone.
It's not like you're like on the one and you can't protect your quarterback and he gets sacked and fumbles and goes out of the back of the end zone.
If I fumble out of the ball out of the end zone on fourth down, how does that work? Does the other team get it from where the fumble was at the 15-yard line like your rule? Do they get a touchback?
Fourth down is a touchback.
Yeah, that's simple. I mean, you're trying to complicate an easy rule.
Yeah.
Why would that automatically be a touchback?
I just said loss of down.
It's loss of down. So the rule that is applied right now would be the rule you'd implement just for fourth down.
Yes.
So clearly the rule does make some sense.
On fourth down, it does, sure.
On fourth down. If you go for it on fourth down to the 50 and you're trying to get to the 53 and you get to the 52, guess what? You lose the ball too.
You should be punished for fumbling the ball out of the end zone.
You should be punished, period, full stop.
Yeah. Oh!
All right. Let's get out of here. That's Happy New Year, everybody. That is the Pick Six Mailbag Show.
That is the best Pick Six Mailbag Show of 2021.
That's right. Actually, I think it's the best Pick Six podcast show. No, we had a pick show on Friday. Make sure and listen to that if you haven't. Of course, the recap coming up on Sunday night of week 17. We'll have tons of playoff goodies coming up for you. Thanks for listening. Look forward to a great 2021. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.